Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thanks for listening to Telling Future Generations. In 1563, a book was published in English called The Fox's Book of Martyrs. John Fox, he was a Puritan preacher in the Reformation period, and he documented many of the martyrs for Christ from the first century, beginning with the stoning of Stephen through his own perilous time during the Reformation era of England. Once it was revered as second only to the Bible, these deeply moving accounts of faith and courage, even four centuries later, mark a path for today's Christians to measure the depth of their commitment to Christ. Mark Middleburg of the Willow Creek Church wrote this, "I picked up this book soon after making a commitment to Christ. At first, I was shocked by the images of Christians suffering and dying for their faith, but soon I was drawn into the accounts of how these ordinary men and women, no different from you or me, could face every kind of opposition rather than deny their Lord. Reading their stories marked me and helped me resolve to follow Christ no matter what the cost. Obedience to Christ, no matter the cost, is not just a call for martyrs of the faith or of amazing testimonies of believers from around the world today who suffer daily for Christ in unimaginable ways. Obedience to Christ, no matter the cost, is the call to every believer in every age to obedience to proclaim Christ, obedience to submit to Christ, and obedience to bear witness of Christ. But obedience to Christ can never be in our own strength, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit who enables us to obey Christ no matter the cost." Last week we looked at Acts chapter 4 that marked the first recorded persecution against the early church that resulted in the apostles' prohibition to cease from speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus. But here in Acts chapter 5, after great unity and great growth of the church, persecution again broke out with a vengeance. Acts 5:17 says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with jealousy." Here the scriptures unveil the core reason behind the persecution in the early church. It was for jealousy. But this was not the first time, and neither will it be the last. Even Jesus, the Bible says, was killed by the religious rulers for jealousy and for power. Then later in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, he experienced persecution at the hand of the Jews as well for the same cause, for envy, for jealousy. There is a multitude of reasons why persecution comes against believers in the church, but first and foremost, it is because it is a satanic attack from the pit of hell. Satan wants to do everything he can, any way he can, to stop the name of Jesus from being proclaimed. But even though there are spiritual wickedness in high places, there are also human reasons that are at play too. And that is what we see happening here with the high priest and the religious rulers in Acts chapter 5. They were not interested in truth, but only in position and power over the people. The scripture says that they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Here we're not just talking about Peter and John being thrown into the temple prison, but apparently all 12 of the apostles. But then verse 19 says, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth." This is the first of three divine prison escapes recorded for us in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5 here with the apostles in the temple prison. Then later in Acts chapter 12 with Peter in prison. And then Acts 16 with Paul and Silas in the Philippi prison. But in each of these divine prison breaks, God always has a purpose. And here in Acts chapter 5, the purpose for this prison escape is clearly given. It's a call to obedience to Christ no matter the cost that begins with a clarion call to obedience to proclaim Christ. The angel of the Lord not only was sent by God to open prison doors, but also to give to the apostles a divine message. Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Notice how pointed this God-given command was, go, stand, speak. There was no need to guess what God wanted them to do. The apostles were told what to do, where to go, and what to say, to speak the words of life that is only found in Jesus' name. The disciples knew that Jesus alone had the words of eternal life. Remember what the disciples had said to Jesus when he had asked them before he went to the cross if they too would leave? Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus, the night before the cross, what did Jesus say to his disciples? Jesus affirmed that he was the life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And then again, right before Judas's kiss in the garden, what did Jesus pray out loud for his disciples to not only know, but one day obediently proclaim? "And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is the message of life, not only that the apostles were told out of obedience to Christ to proclaim, but also for us today, for us to obediently proclaim Christ, no matter the cost. The story is told that in the mid-1800s, Anirayam Judson, the first American foreign missionary, was laying in a foul jail in Burma with 32 pounds of chains on his ankles, with his feet bound and suspended high on a bamboo pole. Proclaiming the gospel to the Burmese and them converting to Christ was against the law. For a year and a half, Anirayam was imprisoned to the brink of death, but even in prison, he was committed to proclaiming Christ. A fellow prisoner with a sneer on his face said, "Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen now?" Anirayam's trust and obedience to Christ refused to be shaken. He instantly replied, "The prospects are as bright as the promises of God." Today, Christianity in Burma, now known as Myanmar, is the second largest religion in the country with 3 million believers. The most Christian predominant areas are found among the minority people, such as the Chin tribe, with 85% proclaiming they are Christian. History records that the Chin people, also known as the Hill people, were one of the first tribes that Anirayam Judson and his wife Anne began to proclaim the gospel to over 200 years ago. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, are called to obedience to Christ no matter the cost. And one of the ways that we demonstrate our obedience to Christ is in our obedience in proclaiming Christ. We are to proclaim Christ when it's unpopular or even when it's illegal and against the law. We are to proclaim Christ amidst threats and persecutions. And we are to proclaim Christ even if it puts our lives in great peril. But why are we called to obedience to proclaim Christ? Well, simply because there are people out there who need to hear. We who have been given in Christ the very words of life are to proclaim to others so they too may know, believe, and have eternal life in Christ. Verse 21 tells us the apostles, they did not hesitate to obey. As soon as it was daybreak, they were there. They entered into the temple and taught the people. Here we see in Scripture the apostles were running circles around the religious rulers. While the disciples were in the temple proclaiming Christ, the 70-member Sanhedrin were gathering together, forming their typical 3-ringed semicircles, their ruling Senate formation. And then they called for the prisoners to be brought forth to them. But instead, not only were the apostles not in their jail cell, they were found standing in the temple proclaiming Christ the same place as they were the day before. Then the Bible says the captain of the temple guards with his officers went and brought the apostles again, but this time without violence or force, because they feared the people. The apostles apparently came without resistance, following their Lord's example in suffering. And then they were set in the midst. The high priest had only one question. "Did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Notice that the high priest would not even bring himself to speak the name of Jesus, but instead he only spit it out, calling him "this man." Peter and the apostles didn't blink. They repeated what they said before in Acts 4, but this time in a more truncated way. "We ought to obey God rather than men." Obedience to Christ not only includes our obedience to proclaim Christ, but also our obedience to submit to Christ, no matter the cost. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor and renowned theologian of his day, was hanged for his obedient commitment to Christ over the Nazi regime and his opposition to Hitler just before the end of World War II. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, Bonhoeffer wrote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." During the same period in Holland, the Christian Ten Boom family were risking their lives to save some Jews from certain death in Nazi concentration camps. In the movie The Hiding Place, when asked why they were doing this, putting their very lives in jeopardy, Father Ten Boom replied, "The master of this house demands that we open this door to anyone who knocks." As followers of Christ, Christ is our master. As Christians, we are called to obey the law of the land, but not when it conflicts with a higher law of God that compels us out of obedience to Christ to not only proclaim Christ, but also submit to Christ, no matter the cost. When we are told we must not mention the name of Christ or pray in the name of Jesus, we must submit to Christ. When we are told we cannot tell others about Christ, or maybe it's even illegal one day to teach our own children about Christ, we must submit to Christ. But obedience to Christ, no matter the cost, has consequences, and so it was for the apostles. What follows next in verse 30 and 31 is nothing less than pure gospel. Peter said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." But Peter didn't stop there. In verse 32, Peter also declared to the Jewish rulers, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." As believers in Christ, we are called to obedience to Christ, no matter the cost, by our obedience to proclaim Christ, our obedience to submit to Christ, and also by our obedience and bearing witness for Christ. Someone once said, "We are to preach the gospel every day, and if necessary, use words." Of all the missionaries I've read about, Elizabeth Elliot, she's my hero. Even after the violent death of her husband and the other four missionaries speared by the Aka Indians, Elizabeth Elliot, along with her daughter and missionary linguist Rachel Saint, came and lived among her husband's killers. For 2 years, they bore witness to them of the love of Christ, even caring for them when they were sick and near death. Most of the tribe, one by one, by their obedient witness, turned to Christ, including those who had taken her husband's life. Obedience and bearing witness for Christ is not just for martyr books or for missionaries. It is for all of us who name the name of Christ. When we stay the course and stand firm for Christ, we are showing our obedience and bearing witness for Christ. When we speak truth and love to those who are unkind to us or have hurt us, we are showing our obedience and bearing witness for Christ. But where did Peter and the apostles' ability to obey Christ come from? Did it come from themselves? No, it came from the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, who is given to all those who obey because they have believed in Christ, so that through the Holy Spirit, we as believers in Christ are enabled to obey Christ no matter the cost. After the apostles said these things, the scripture says that the religious rulers were cut to the heart. The religious rulers were furious. They became unhinged in their mind and heart like a reverberating cutting saw, sawing back and forth uncontrollably. The only thing that they wanted was one thing, to see these witnesses of Jesus dead. The truth of the gospel cuts through bone and marrow into our very heart and soul. To some, it is the message of life, but to others, it is the message of death. But even in the midst of persecution, we must remember that God is sovereign. Here at the close of Acts 5, God used a respected doctor of the law, Gamaliel, a Pharisee, to urge caution how they handle these men. Gamaliel said, "Let these men alone. If this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you be found even to fight against God." Here we see that God intervened again, even using the counsel of an unbeliever. The council agreed with this wait-and-see attitude, but they still beat the apostles with 39 lashes and commanded them again not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then let them go. So who do the disciples obey? Well, verse 41 and 42 ends the chapter by saying, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus the Christ." The apostles were steadfast in their obedience to Christ, no matter the cost. Through their obedience to proclaim Christ, their obedience to submit to Christ, and their obedience to bear witness of Christ. And we, as believers in Christ, are to do nothing less. Years ago, I had an opportunity to meet Elizabeth Elliot when I was a student at Moody Bible Institute. It was a crowded room, and there were people all around her. After her talk, people lined up at the door just to greet her and shake her hand. When my turn came, I blurted out, "I want to be a missionary just like you." Elizabeth Elliot's face was resolute. She turned and looked me straight in the eye and said, "So what are you doing about it?" Her message was clear and one that I will not forget. Being a missionary or a martyr for Christ is not the mark of a believer, but obedience to Christ is. Every day we must, by the power and our dependence on the Holy Spirit, covenant anew that we will allow God to mark out our lives for obedience to Christ and proclaiming Christ, submitting to Christ, and bearing witness to Christ, no matter the cost. Thank you again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.